This week, we're back to bring you spooky, frightful, and delightful gaming news. Because for some reason, society sees adults going door-to-door to collect candy socially unacceptable for some reason. That's okay, I wanted savory, sugar-free candy anyway, because health matters when you're an adult. Anyway, now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki to bring you 2 weeks of gaming news, starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, and we are live on Halloween, spooky season. This is episode number 889 for this October 31st, Halloween of 2021. We are back after not being here last week, but we are very happy to be back to talk about the latest in video games, gaming culture, and the gamer lifestyle. My name is Rob Roberts, and I am joined every week by the one and only Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Oh, hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm a little warm, but yeah, I'm okay.
So for the Twitch people, because we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwell show at VOG Network, twitch.tv/VOG Network. And for the folks that are watching on Twitch tonight, you're dressed up a little bit. You're doing a little Meg from Dead by Daylight inspired look here. And so you're committed to your art with the jacket there.
I am.
Love that.
The funny thing is that I had ordered this like cheap ass terrible jacket, and then I found this actual legit corduroy jacket.
Uh-huh.
And that's what Meg wears, and I'll link like the cosmetic. And then like I got my wig, and my wig's the wrong color because it's not like red enough. Mm-hmm. It's like I either have a very red wig or the blonde wig. Mm-hmm. Out of my collection of wigs, I do not own a strawberry blonde. And I had everything ready and styled, and then I was just looking at my just at Meg Cosmetics, and Meg has a bobbed haircut that it's like her athletic bob, and it looks a little bit like curly and stringy a little.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also got like her straightened out one, but it's more of an ombre effect. And I was like, yeah, this will do. I just have to make sure I'm cultivating my resting bitch face better, and she doesn't have the Klingon forehead that I do, but oh well.
I am surprised you don't have the because you love Pigu as the killer, I'm surprised you don't have Meg in the pig mask for your – I was just a little bit surprised.
I actually didn't have time to make the pig mask. I was supposed to make it, and then I had to go to Alabama.
Next year.
Yeah, because I was going to have like the pig mask hanging off to the side, and I had another red wig that I was going to do like her triple braid in.
Ah.
And with everything that happened in the last couple of weeks,
sure,
that fell off.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I am not dressed up. I'm dressed up as Rob Roberts, Orange Lounge radio host here on stream tonight because I hosted. So for the first time in 18 months, I've talked about this on a show before. I host with one of the film festivals here. I do a lot of the cult movie screenings and variety show stuff. So Rocky Horror was back last night after 18 months being gone. You know, they still did precautions. Everybody had to be vaccinated. Everybody was wearing masks and stuff. And it felt really good to be back doing that again. And then there was a variety show on Friday night, Cabaret Macabre, which went really, really well. And so I dressed up for those events. So today I was like, you know what? I'm casual tonight. Halloween is over for me. It was the weekend was the highlights there. That's for sure. And going to our chat, because, again, we do tape live at twitch.tv/VOG Network, where SSJ100 Matt says, 2 hosting gigs and you still have your voice. Yeah, I tried to keep it under control this weekend, but I do feel like I'm an octave lower tonight than I usually am. That's for sure. Speaking of spooky season, Tech Master Loki not here with us tonight, as you can see. And for those in the podcast feed, he is not here tonight. But he mentioned on a previous episode, he is still obligated to take the kids trick or treating because it is Halloween. So, I mean, understandable. So he is out doing family stuff tonight on Halloween. We'll probably have a little bit of a shorter show tonight just because it is Halloween. That World Series thing is going on that has a lot of people's attention. My cat is over here in the kitchen screaming, so Lord knows what he
needs.
I
hear him.
He only does this. I swear, you guys, he only does this when I'm doing OLR. Like, or when I'm taking a shower. He'll sit outside the bathroom door and scream. So it's just,
sings you the song of his people.
Apparently. My gosh. And he just ate, too. What a fat kitty. All right.
Midna has lost 2 pounds and is now in her healthy range.
Oh, good.
I have worked hard on her.
Glad to hear it.
Because a chunky cat is not a healthy cat. I'm just saying.
actually, believe it or not, Mr. Smush is at the weight he needs to be. It's just his species is a natural chonker.
Oh yeah.
So yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a different thing just because of how he's built.
Yeah.
But like Midna being a little black cat, she is supposed to be. She has that pouch, and that's actually a genetic leftover. It's not chunkiness. But she's finally where she should be, and she's got a lot more energy, and she's happy.
Good, good.
Sometimes she has too much energy.
I miss Midna. I haven't seen her in a while. I need to come over and
play
pinball.
You'll have to come over.
I really do.
We may be selling the Shadow.
Oh, no.
But we have Star Trek now.
Oh, fun. Good time. Yeah. And, of course, pinball machines, for those that are not aware, that Darsakra and hubby collect pinball machines. It's fun stuff.
We sure do.
Okay, we'll talk a little more about our week off, because I know both you and I went on a trip, except different trips. We'll talk a little bit about that in a bit, but I thought, you know, since we are video games, let's get into our first topic tonight, which is kind of covering, really, what we missed in that week that we were off, because I feel like there was more news last week than there was this week. We had some big headlines this week we'll get into in a minute, but there was a bit of news last week while we were off. So running through some of the big headlines. Metroid Dread got that patch that we had been talking about on an earlier show. So patch 1.0.1 of Metroid Dread is now out, and it fixes that kind of broken thing that prevented people from beating the game. But
the jacket's coming off.
No, it's fine. I understand. Not everybody was really going to hit that anyway. Also, this kind of interesting, the Capcom Arcade Stadium. I don't know if you've checked this out, Darsakra, but it's a great collection of old Capcom games. And so if you want to play
something.
And
the one on Switch, right?
Yeah. It's on all of them, but Switch, yeah.
Yeah.
If you don't want to buy games in bulk, they just released that you can buy each title separately for $2. So if you only want Strider, you only have to pay the $2 for Strider, which is kind of nice. So or whatever it is that you want to get. Meanwhile, I bought all the bundles on Switch before they did this. I want to see them do more. Like, there's still more games I want to see them put out. So hopefully it's been doing well enough. This is a huge headline in the Blizzard universe and Overwatch. You know, everybody knows that there was a lot of problems at Blizzard that have had to be worked out in the past few months and are continuing to be worked on. But one of them was the fact that one of the characters, the cowboy character in Overwatch, was named after somebody with the company that proved to have a pretty problematic past. So they had said they were going to rename this character, and they announced the new name last week. The character formerly known as McCree is now Cole Cassidy. Is the name of that character. And definitely, you know, Butch Cassidy probably coming into play there. But what I also think is really funny is that the character of Ash, voiced by OLR fave Jennifer Hale, who was added later on, I just think it's really funny that the characters are Ash and Cole. Get it? Even though his name is spelled C-O-L-E, still it's Ash and Cole. Ha 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 ha. All right, forget it. Anyway,
what reference is this that I'm missing?
It's just Ash and Cole, like they're both fire burning related things. I don't know.
Okay, I thought it was like famous like people.
No, well the Cassidy part likely is, but that's yeah, that's it. Questbuster in chat also with another point there saying, if I recall correctly, also with the rename, Blizzard said they would stop naming characters in any of their games after real people. You know what, though? I don't know if I agree with that. And I know that might sound surprising, especially, you know, considering this particular character. But like, I know in World of Warcraft, they have named characters in tribute for some that have passed away. I also know some items have names from the real world. I mean, that's, I don't know, maybe give or take, because you never know where, you know, where those peoples are at. But I think especially the ones that are named in memoriam, I would like to see them do that.
Maybe they should amend it that they shouldn't name them after living employees or something.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's the way to do it. Don't name them after living employees, and I think that would be a better way to handle that. But I get like where they were going with that for sure. I think this is a really interesting story. Hamster has filed a trademark, and yes, Hamster is a game company, if you weren't already aware. And they're probably most well known. I think they're the ones that do the Arcade Archives, which is a huge series that is on the Nintendo Switch. And I think it shows up on like PlayStation 4, a lot of old arcade games. Well, in the last week, they actually put out a trademark, or they filed a trademark for Console Archives. And I think this is really fascinating, especially if the Nintendo Switch is involved, because essentially hamster, I mean, if you're to jump to conclusions about what this name means, which I don't know why you wouldn't, this might mean that hamster is putting together a third party virtual console.
Wow.
Of sorts. Now, granted, this could include systems that are not represented on the Nintendo Switch, and that's probably where it's going to end up. It could, I know Konami has worked a lot with Arcade Archives. I think TurboGrafx-16 is a very, because you know Konami now, that's one and the same. I think this is a very likely place for TurboGrafx things to end up, but there could be more than just that. I know SNK, although you know when it comes to the Neo Geo, I think pretty much all the home stuff was the arcade stuff. That was kind of the allure of that system. I'm not sure what I'm not thinking of, unless maybe Dark Sakura, things like SNK Pocket and some of the things I know you followed a little more closely, maybe will be represented here. I don't know.
That would be nice.
Yeah. So I don't think Console Archives is suddenly going to mean things like Genesis, Nintendo, and things like that. I just don't see it going that way, especially on the Switch. But I think the more obscure Japanese-only type of stuff, there actually could be a pretty cool market here. What if they started putting out like MSX and MSX2? Like, that would be rad. And I could see that happening from Hamster. So fingers crossed that that's kind of where this going is, really bringing some of those more obscure titles to light. So anyway, Arcade Archives has been running since March 3rd, 2017, 200 weeks of systems. The last game they released was Rally X, which I love that game. That's one of the few games I have a perfect achievement list. 200 out of 200 on Xbox 360 was
wow.
The the random Rally X remake. I don't know why I love that game so much, but I do. It's weird. I'll be the first one to admit
game.
It. Yeah, it is. Let's see. Going to chat, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. SSJ100 Matt suggesting on the naming after people. Name them after pets instead for Blizzard. So we could have like a Mr. Smush in the game. I like that idea, the pets. All right.
Then again, what if you have a pet that's like named after like a person? And this is Walter.
Yeah.
The brave.
Yeah.
The kind of brave.
We'll see. Some comments on the console archive story. Dark Tetsuya says, sign me up for MSX stuff, right? Like, I know we've
Metal Gear.
I know we've kind of had the Metal Gear release on, but it would be really nice to have
Gardic.
Holy fuck. Yes, Gardic.
Although,
oh my God.
You can get Gardic on iPhone, and Gardic wasn't really a great game, just saying.
But what if, like, we could finally get Guardian Legend through this? I would be so excited, even though that is an NES game, but you never know.
I still wish that fan remake had been allowed to go through. That would have been such a delight.
For sure. Questbuster in chat says, yay, more hamster retro. I'm also keeping my fingers crossed on Japanese-only classics. So many never made it here. And yeah, it's a trademark. There's only so much we can do. We can jump to conclusions. But I feel like with the Arcade Archives, like, nothing was off limits for Hamster. If you really look at they've released 200 games. There's a lot of obscure shit in there. Like, let's be real. So, like, if they can do this for console games too, I think it's going to be awesome. Like, and kudos to them for preserving, you know, these obscure sometimes gaming history. Maybe they'll use Dark Soccer's classic game of the week list on our wiki as a guide of what we want to see.
So you think we're going to get like Puzzle Index?
Miss Nude World 96, if there's any
Miss
justice.
Nude World 96. Everybody, move your body.
Everybody, move your body. Okay. One of the greatest in jokes ever on this show is Miss Nude World 96. Yes, it is an actual game. It plays just like Kix, QIX, if you remember that game. It plays just like that. But instead of just filling in colored squares, you unlock a scantily clad woman, because, you know, games were like really fucking, you know, sometimes they were really misogynistic in the 90s.
People like boobs.
Yeah. Who doesn't?
Boobs sell games.
But then for whatever reason, sometimes the game would, like, you do something bad, I guess, and then suddenly it turns into a picture of a hell demon, and it plays this really cheesy techno song in the background that goes, "Everybody, move your body." So I don't know if there's any clips on YouTube, but seriously, look it up. It's hilarious. It's hilarious how ridiculous it is. It is a fucking ridiculous game, but that's why we can't stop talking about it. All right. Anyway, Dark Tetsuya saying, "I don't know, the ESRB might not be kind to Miss Nude World." Okay, you know what they have to do? Let me
ESRB can bite my ass.
Here we go. I'm going to refer to a really obscure news story from this week. So going back to this week, I don't know if you guys heard, but there's a trailer out there for a really, and I'm going to be honest, the game looks like garbage. It looks like a ripoff of Super Meat Boy, quite frankly. And it's called, on the Nintendo Switch, I think it's called 20 Women. Somebody in chat can correct me if you know what I'm talking about. And basically, by beating these crappy levels, you unlock pictures of scantily clad women who are wearing basically bathing suits that show off their big assets, okay? So there's that. But on the PlayStation, they were not able to release this game the same way. So instead, they made a game called 20 Bunnies. And at the end of each level, you unlock pictures of cute bunnies. They're not scantily clad or anything. They're just cute bunnies.
I would rather have the cute bunnies.
Right?
The bunnies are better.
Now, this game looks like fucking garbage, so I'm not going to buy it just for pictures of bunnies. But to go back to Miss Nude World 96, that is how you release the game, is you do Miss Bunny 96. And that's how Hamster can do it. Thank you.
That's funny.
Pixel Pacas knew what I was talking about. Turn the ladies into bunnies. Yes. Thank you. Tiger Claw got the real name of the game. It's called 20 Ladies, not 20 Women. Sorry about that. 20 Ladies. And links to a story that Nintendo Life ran on the whole thing. So anyway, Questbuster in chat says cute bunnies for everyone, right? Pod Culture says bunnies aren't just cute likes everybody supposes. All right. Anyway, where was I? Let me go back to the headlines from last week, because I know I've missed some things here. I accidentally closed the window. Getting back to it. I have to log into my site again to see my headlines. Okay, here we go.
Fun times.
RIP. We did
live radio.
We did lose a pixel artist from Namco, very famous pixel artist. Hiroshi Ono passed away in the week that we were gone. Yeah, so...
I mean, I didn't mean that as a pun, and I'm sorry I said it that way, but I meant... Oh, no.
A legit, yeah. So,
yeah.
Sorry to hear about that loss. That is unfortunate. And also in the news, we have the next game from the Stardew Valley creator is going to be Haunted Chocolatier. So that sounds like it could be very interesting. I wonder if it'll be as chill as Stardew Valley is. I don't know. When they're talking about Haunted, I'm not sure if it's really going to be chill, but we'll see. So those are some of the big headlines we missed last week in the week that we were off. So speaking of the week we were off, let's talk about our gaming weeks and the types of video games that we have been playing this week.
I have to interject something.
Sure, go ahead.
Steve Buscemi just won Halloween. He dressed as his meme.
How do you do, fellow kids? That one?
Exactly. He dressed as his meme.
I love it.
And handed out candy with skateboard.
I heard what's her name from the movie Midsommar, which I know you love that movie, Florence something. She dressed up as her character from Midsommar for Halloween.
Oh, I have to find pictures of that. I fucking love
that Twitter.
Movie.
It's on Twitter somewhere. All right. Let's get into our gaming weeks. And with our gaming weeks, I figured we might talk about the trips a little bit because I don't know about you, Dark Soccer, but I kind of played less games this week because I went out of town for a few days. But I don't know. Same. Tell us about your trip and your gaming week, Dark Soccer.
So, yeah, I didn't really play a lot of games, although, of course, the Monday last I played. I tried to keep up with my streaming and I did some Dead by Daylight. And I did not play Fantasian because the new content I thought was coming out on that Tuesday and I was wrong. So it really was Dead by Daylight, playing Wordscapes, really not much of anything. I'm going to be starting Animal Crossing again when the new DLC is out. Right. And as expected, JD did change our family plan, so I have access to all the N64 stuff now, and that's pretty fun. I don't know if I'm going to play anything yet, but I really have hardly had time to do anything. My cosplay is so half-assed because I didn't have time to do anything. I was in Alabama. I didn't play any games in Alabama. Tiara and I went to go spend time with our mama son, Maggie. And we went to Barbara's memorial. It was really sweet. There was a lot of uncomfortable Christian stuff, but it's not my deal. Mm-hmm. And there was this cute picture of Barbara holding a lightsaber, and I had never seen it, so it was I got to see some different pictures.
Oh, good.
We caught up with some of her friends and, you know, found out a big thing. You know, we had a commonality of liking Electric Light Orchestra. And
that's awesome.
It was some random stuff. And then we went to Olive Garden, which is fine dining for Mobile, Alabama. there's like a Ruth's Chris and some other places that are nice, like the Admiral Sims and whatnot. But we went to Olive Garden and had food, and it was great. And Tiara and I stole the breadsticks.
Olive Garden is that place I really crave, like once a year. A year, I'm like, I want some fucking breadsticks, and I want it now.
We had to keep upgrading our tables, and we were finally like, you know, we're just going to take this table over here. And the staff's like, whatever, sure. And we had a really good time. You know, the happy times were happy. We had some sad, you know, reminiscing. My mother did manage to stick her foot in her mouth when we had mom brunch. I had her and Maggie for brunch with us. I was very happy because there were many gays at brunch, and it made me feel like I was at gay brunch. So
nice.
And really good mimosas, just saying.
Of course.
So it's this place called the August House. If anyone is in Mobile, Alabama, they're really expensive for their brunch, but they are quite delightful. We also went to this place called the Cheese Cottage, which we just were like, we're going to the Cheese Cottage by name alone. And it was really, really, really good. I mean, like, you order charcuterie boards and whatnot, but they also had like really delicious sandwiches. And there was a dude out there playing guitar, and he was really good, but he did the thing. He played Wonderwall.
I saw this on like your
and I TikToked it.
Instagram or one of TikTok. Okay,
I put it on TikTok.
Yeah,
because that man turned himself into a living meme.
That's funny. Anyway,
and we were singing with him. It was great. but yeah, I ended up spending a good almost my whole Sunday with my mom, and I got to see my brother Philip, and I finally got to meet my nephew Jackson. And Ashley was back from Afghanistan. She's Army Reserve medical. And so she had just gotten back, I think, like a few weeks before. And then I got to see Uncle Billy, and I got to see his wife, Kathy, and it was all just really nice. And Dan told me I could pay for everybody, so that's the most I've ever paid for a meal, I'm just saying.
Oh, wow, nice.
I learned something about me and my mother. I am truly her daughter. When we went to the bar to order drinks, Mom's like, I want an amaretto and orange. And I was like, I want an amaretto sour. And Mom's like, I've never had an amaretto sour. And I'm like, I've never had an amaretto orange. So we switched drinks and actually really liked them both. And I think this is just like some genetic taste thing that we like amaretto and citrusy things. So, because we almost ordered exactly the same drink. Also, never get an amaretto sour at Olive Garden. They are weak as fuck. Maggie had managed to get off on Monday, so we spent more of the time with her on Monday, and then the rest of it was me and Tiara left to our own devices, and then Tuesday we drove back to Gulfport to turn in the car and catch our flights home. They had a problem with their flight coming out and rearranged things in such a way that we had the same flight to Gulfport. Although I had upgraded my seats already to the comfort seats, so you know, which was great on the way back because I had free Prosecco and I drank out of the bottle because I'm a heathen. The picture is out there.
Nice,
but you know, and actually, I watched Twitch streaming on my flight until we hit some turbulence and the internet got kind of wonky. But I was on. Oh, wow. I was watching people on Twitch.
Oh, that's awesome.
I was hanging out in Le Pen stream for a little bit, and I think I was watching Nick on the way over. I was like, hey, I'm in the air.
Alan was doing the same thing as we were going down I-5. He was trying to watch. It would kind of go in and out, but he was trying to watch the Twitch streams. It's funny.
That's pretty funny. But I just thought it was funny doing it from the flight. And if I had been on, like, my MacBook, if I still had it, which I sold it, then it would have been, you know, really funny. Like, hi, I'm streaming from 35,000 feet. But it wouldn't have been good enough for the way I do Dead by Daylight, because I'm a Stadia player. But I mean, you know, it was fun. I had a great time for the fun times, and, you know, we're really sad for the rest of it. And it was just kind of weird being back, because there was things that were familiar and things that weren't, and I kind of knew where I was. And it was just this weird sort of dichotomy of, this is different, this is exactly the same. Mm. Also, a shout out to Yellowhammer Coffee, which is sort of like, it's kind of like the same theory as our Dutch Brothers, and they're really, really good, but they're locally owned.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all are great. Yellowhammer Coffee, if you were in Mobile, Alabama, you need to go. I was sad that I missed my friends. I was going to meet up with Empire, another Dead by Daylight streamer, and things just didn't work out. While I was downtown, though, there was a barcade called Game Over. Apparently, they closed last year because Tiara and I were like, we're going to go, and they were closed. They went out of business. But other than that, you know, we went to a little farmer's market and did some walking around, and, you know, it was just kind of chill.
Good.
Just kind of chill.
Good, good.
Yeah.
All right.
No gaming happened. except for watching gamers.
So I guess I'll talk about my week a little bit. So I also was on a trip, although a very different sort of trip. Alan and I took a trip down to the L.A. area. Anybody from NorCal pretty much calls everything south of the Grapevine L.A. And that's really where we were, all over different places down there. And we went to Disney on the day that OLR would have been. So Sunday, we went to Disneyland, which I hadn't been to in almost 5 years. The last time Alan and I went was the year we got married. So we hadn't been in a while. So, it was nice. We got there pretty early. We got there like 15 minutes after opening, and we were by ourselves for a little bit because the rest of our peeps weren't really meeting us for a couple hours. So we walked right on all the rides we wanted to do at DCA. So we got to do, like, you know, the Toy Story Midway Mania, which is a game. So I played that and got to see some of the other changes, like Incredicoaster. I hadn't been on that yet. The Guardians ride.
Incredicoaster was good.
Yeah, I liked Incredicoaster. I was totally fine with the changes. And the Guardians ride was pretty good. I was ready to hate it because I love Tower of Terror, but they did a decent job with that. I liked it.
Incredicoaster was out when I went after DragCon 2019. I went before Galaxy's Edge opened.
Got it.
Yeah.
And so we did get to cross over to Disney, and then it got really crowded. Now, I was with my pal Victoria, who some of you might recognize from a show I've had off and on called Shaking and Crying. And she is, you know, queen of Disney. And so she was able to get us on the queue, because it's all through an app now. It's all a game in and of itself. She had to collect all our barcode numbers, and then you go on an app, and that's how you get for Rise of the Resistance. So we did get to do it. She did a great job, because we only had to wait. Like, I think she got in queue at noon, I think is the time to do it. And we got on that ride probably about 2:30. So we didn't have to wait too terribly long, all things considered. So that was cool. And that's like four rides in one. That was pretty amazing. So that was a neat ride. We had a great Disney day, had a really good time. Around the trip, we got to do some other stuff because Alan had never really spent time in Southern California outside of theme parks. We tried to meet up with, kind of like you did, we tried to meet up with some Twitch streamers while we were down there.
Saw Nick, right?
Yes. So I was going to say, we invited a few, and, you know, people had other commitments or other things. And I know it's always weird, too, when, like, people from the internet are like, hi, I know you from the internet. Do you want to meet up? You know, and I totally get that, you know, it might be a little weird for some people. It's fine. But it was nice that we were able to make one of them work. So Nick and Prince, who's a Dead by Daylight streamer, I'm sure we've raided in the past a long time ago before you were streaming, Jamie. And somebody I know you raid a lot, and I've raided too. I was able to meet up with him. So we met up in West Hollywood at a cafe and just really just chatted, just talked about streaming a little bit and, you know, Dead by Daylight and, you know, all the things you would expect some nerdy folks who got together to talk about. So that was really cool. It was nice to meet a Twitch. It was an interesting thing because, you know, having done OLR for nearly 20 years now, it doesn't happen often, but it does happen where I meet people at conventions and stuff. And it's kind of like, they're kind of like, it's so interesting to have watched you or mostly listened to you for so many years. And I've never seen you know, for a long time before we had the Twitch thing. It was like, I had no idea what you look like. It's interesting to see you. And just that whole, like, they're saying, you know, oh, I've been listening to you for so long and now I'm seeing you in person. And it's always very flattering, right? And all that, of course, I don't take any of that for granted. But it was interesting that it was kind of the reverse scenario where it was like, we were meeting Nick and I don't think Nick is super familiar with this show. Like, I know he knows you and I do it and stuff, but I don't expect he listens to it, especially when he streams Sunday nights.
We've had fans pop up in his chat, though.
But it was an interesting sort of reversal where it's like, oh, I watch Nick a lot, like, you know, before I go to bed or something, you know, he's a late night streamer because he's on the West Coast. I've watched many hours of him and now we're just hanging out in person. It was a very interesting role reversal kind of thing. So it was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I enjoyed it and I'm glad we got to hang out. So I'm sure I'll be able to meet many more Twitch streamers at TwitchCon next year. That's the goal anyway. Let's make sure TwitchCon happens and we're able to all hang out. So, but I mean, even with COVID and everything, things are starting to come back. It's just precautions. You have to be back. Like, I was able to host shows again this weekend. It was great. We had mandatory vaccines and everybody still had to wear masks. And I would hope by next fall we're past that, but might not be. But it's nice to know that TwitchCon could still happen with those. So that would be pretty cool.
I really do want to do TwitchCon, Rob. I mean, I actually want to do that more than DragonCon.
DragonCon is really the big one every year. But I want to do por qué no los dos? That's, that's my perspective
because
on it.
Because money and time off. Just saying.
Yeah, I get it. I don't know. We'll see what ends up happening with TwitchCon and the ticket demand and all that stuff. So we'll see. Anyway, as far as games that I played, yes, I did play a few games because I streamed some Final Fantasy 14 in there somewhere. And I've still been playing that, trying to get all my characters to 80. I'm still playing a little bit of Dead by Daylight. And actually, I did pick up a new game this week. So I want to talk a little bit about Pikmin Bloom. Because Pikmin Bloom just came out really just a couple days ago, I think on Thursday. And this is the latest game from Niantic, who are the makers of Pokemon Go, Ingress. They chipped in with that Harry Potter Wizards Unite game. So this is kind of their latest offering and probably notable because it is their only other offering with Nintendo next to Pokemon Go. So in a way, it's kind of like the sequel to Pokemon Go, I guess. But I shouldn't call it that because it's a very different sort of game. So I really wasn't sure what to expect from Pikmin Bloom, but I have to admit, I find that I'm into it more than I thought it would be, because the weird thing is there isn't really much of a game there, or it doesn't seem to be, but it seems to be a really good, like, walking tracker is what it really is. It interfaces with Apple Watch, Apple Fitness, as well as the Google equivalents to track the steps and where you're going. And
cool.
As you're doing that, you start to it very much uses the Pokemon Go eggs concept, which is how you hatch new Pikmin. And then as you level up, in the beginning, it seems like there's really nothing. But as you level up, more and more starts to unfold. And you get to a point where you can send the Pikmin off on expeditions to get fruit, which they bring back. And you turn those into petals. And you use the petals to plant flowers in the world as you walk when you turn it on. See, I don't plant flowers at my house. I only plant because other people can see them. So I only plant flowers at the park, but you turn that on and off as you want to. But I really think the most underrated feature of Pikmin Bloom is that it keeps like a journal for you, basically. And so at the end of the day, you'll get an alert about 9 o'clock that says, check out how your day went. And it'll track, like, here's the steps that you got today. Here's a random picture from your day. Tell me how you felt today. Make any notes that you want to make about today. And any postcards that you got from friends, because at some point the Pikmin on the expeditions get postcards and you can send those to your friends. So like I know I sent one to Deft. I think I sent one to Deft. I'm pretty sure. And some other people that are on my friends list as well. So the only thing I think is a little weird is that you're getting postcards from your friends who are all over the world, which is cool, but that doesn't really then track the places you've been. So that's a little bit interesting. Well, then open your game, Deft, and send my Pikmin back. By opening your postcard. No, it's all good. I understand. I was just reading a chat comment there where Def said, I haven't opened Bloom since Thursday. Is the game perfect? No, because I still think I'm not sure what the actual game is. I think there's still probably more to it as you go on. The microtransactions make no sense at all. I would never pay for any of that stuff that they're offering. And quite simply, honestly, if it's a free walking log and walking tracker, I don't see the need to do that stuff. There's no competition. There's no scoreboard. There's no territory control game. There's no incentive to be competitive and to get the competitive edge by buying the microtransaction stuff, which, quite frankly, the number of coins that you earn is laughable. If you think Pokemon Go is bad, the number of coins you earn in Pikmin, at least so far, we should remember it's the first release, but the number of coins you earn in Pikmin Bloom is laughable. To put it in perspective, you get one coin when you plant 500 flowers. And that's not cumulative. You have to do it in one walk. 500 flowers is about the equivalent of 1 mile, I found. You get one coin for planting flowers for 1 mile. So think about that a little bit. I've been doing a lot of walking. The game has been incentivizing my walking a little bit. I'm up to 6 coins earned. Yay.
Yay.
Exactly. I don't know what I'm going to buy with that. Not much. So I think there's still a lot to work out with the microtransactions and why I would ever get those. But I don't know. Maybe next week after I've played the game a little more, I'll have an answer for that. Although I will say I'm up to like level 11, which is, you know, in just a few days, I think I've done pretty good. But there are people on my friends list that are higher because, of course, I'm friends with a lot of other very hardcore geolocation game players. And I've talked about that on the show before, how I usually am going to check out any AR geolocation game. And of course, Niantic is the cream of the crop, despite how you feel about Pokemon Go or their other offerings. The reality is other companies really aren't making those same type of games. Draconius Go ain't it. Garfield Go really ain't it. So, you know, Niantic is on the leading edge with that stuff. So anyway, I do recommend Pikmin Bloom so far as just a walking, you know, track your walking, nice little journal type of thing. Just a cute little way to incentivize your walks. But I would say don't expect much more than what it is. And to be fair, I believe Nintendo and Niantic have really said from the beginning, this is going to be a little bit less of a intense game. This really is something that's kind of meant to encourage exploration and walking. And I will say, if that is the goal, they are. It does encourage exploration and walking. So I'll give it that. So, all right. SSJ100 Matt in chat says, I have a billion things tracking my steps, so I'm good. While I'm not a Pikmin fan, I will give it a download. I'm not much of a Pikmin fan either, and I don't really see how it connects to the games at all, except for the fact that they go off together to get fruit and they bring it back. Like, that is incorporated into the game, but it's not the same way that the actual Pikmin games work. So
I've never actually played a Pikmin game.
It's very different. Well, and Pokemon Go really isn't like the mainline Pokemon games really at all. You know, there's the characters are the same, but that's about it. So it's interesting. Anyway. So there you go. I did at least get to play one new game this week to talk to you guys about. So there you go, my gaming week. All right. With that, I think we'll get into some gaming news. Sound good, Dark Sakura?
I actually have a very offbeat question, Rob.
Go for it.
Do you ever get people text you and they sign their texts?
Like they actually like put
their, like it's a like, letter?
Love, Rob, or something at the end?
Yeah, something like that.
I have seen people sign their texts.
It's a ridiculous.
I see it more with work, and I don't know why that is. But usually it's coworkers I see it with.
With older people.
Maybe it's a generation thing. I don't know. Maybe they think they are writing letters. I don't know.
But maybe they should also realize that we know who they are, and they don't need to sign a text.
Orange Ride in chat says people just want to be formal, and maybe it's that.
Well, screw that.
All right.
That's just so, I mean, signing a work email is actually legitimate work etiquette.
Right.
In a work email, the etiquette is dear so-and-so or just so-and-so's name, body of text, sincerely or thank you or whatever, so-and-so.
I've written emails.
And that's in our style guide at my work.
That's fine. Because I've written emails to my team that go, hi, comma, today, can we, you know, whatever is going on.
I do this too. Like, hi. If it's my team, I might be like, sup team or hey team, but it always follows typical letter structure because an email is closer to a written letter than it is to a text.
Right. Yeah, I get that. I get that.
It's just, it's like, it just is hit me because a couple of the sisters do it and I'm just like, stop. I know it's you. We all know it's you. Everyone knows it's you.
Oh, is it like a group text thing? Is that why they're doing
it? It happened once in a group text, but there are people who do it one-on-one.
Hmm. Interesting.
And I'm like, no, I know who you are. I know who you are. Do you know who you are? Are you reminding yourself?
All right.
Why?
Let's get into some gaming news. Love, Rob. All right. Let's talk about the PlayStation State of Play event that happened this week, where they, you know, PlayStation did their own kind of Nintendo Direct style thing where they showed some updates on news. But it was a lot of third-party stuff and not – I don't think there's really anything from here that was like a huge – like no new Final Fantasy 16 trailer or anything like that, all right? It was some more smaller and indie games, but that doesn't mean they're bad because there's some really good stuff. For example, one of the games they were showing off was a game called We Are OFK, which I think – correct me if I'm wrong, chat, but isn't this the same group that did Sayonara Wild Hearts that's putting this game together? Because if so, I'll play it just based on that alone. It is a game that follows the pop band OFK, and they are trying to navigate love, friends, music, and so forth in their home setting of L.A., and you know, it's kind of a story-centered game, but also with kind of music involved there. So that is something that was featured in the PlayStation State of Play event, and I think they released or they mentioned the release for that as well, just 2022. I don't think we saw anything beyond that. And Def says, as far as is it the same people, I think it is. I'm not sure, though. Some other games that were shown. Deathverse was announced for the PlayStation 4 and 5. This is a follow-up to the free-to-play title Let It Die. Probably the one of the two big things that was shown, Bugsnax, the Isle of Bugsnax. So, or excuse me, the Isle of Big Snacks. It's hard to confuse, hard to get straight there, but it's Bugsnax and Big Snacks. So it's like kind of like a DLC, a big expansion for Bugsnax that's coming soon. A lot of people excited to hear about a new Star Ocean. So if you're an RPG fan, that was probably a highlight for you, is that Star Ocean, the Divine Force, is coming out in 2022. Darksakura, this might be up your alley. King of Fighters 15. I don't know if you still follow that franchise, but King of Fighters,
not as much.
King of Fighters 15 is coming for the PlayStation 4 and 5, and there's going to be an open beta test from November 19th to the 22nd, and a new character was shown off. She looks pretty cool, called Dolores is her name. So you can check that out. And then one more game that was shown, Little Devil Inside, was shown with a new trailer. And honestly, that was about it. But looking in chat there, Questbuster says the Star Ocean announcement was a big surprise. Yeah, I kind of think that was the highlight for a lot of people, but I also know a lot of people that really love their RPG games. Def says King of Fighters 15 looks amazing. Yeah, I mean, I'd check it out, especially if there's going to be an open beta. We can kind of play for free. I'd love to check it out. Oh, Def points out, too, in our chat, that the open beta is the same weekend as Pokemon Diamond and Pearl remakes are released. So,
fascinating.
Ooh, yeah. It's, well, November is always a busy month, and November literally starts tomorrow, and so the next few weeks are going to be, you know, the big holiday releases are all for the next few weeks as we lead up to Black Friday and those sales. You know, even with the pandemic and everything going on, it's still, and the chip shortages around the world still, and the freight shortages in the harbor and all that stuff. It still doesn't stop the holiday shopping spree. Yep. Def says Final Fantasy 14's expansion is that same weekend. Yep. It's going to be a busy time for me because you know I love me some Final Fantasy 14, and I will be checking out the latest expansion, Endwalker. That's for sure. Anyway, so that is what you missed at State of Play, or what you saw at State of Play, depending on if you watched it or not. Let's go to Darksakura, who I think has other PlayStation news, right?
I do. So they have formed a new label specifically for PC gaming. In fact, some Steam users might have noticed that there were PC releases that switched from PlayStation Mobile to PlayStation PC LLC. And according to a Corporation Wiki listing, Sony Interactive Entertainment registered PlayStation PC in April this year from its California headquarters. It's more of a formality on there, but it's for doing for how they're releasing their PC ports, including so far Horizon Zero Dawn and Days Gone. Mm-hmm. Looking also, it seems like they're also going to be doing Uncharted 4 and Uncharted Lost Legacy, and God of War is going to have a PC port as well. Sackboy: A Big Adventure may also be coming to PC, according to Steam's database, and that they are still working on bringing out more titles as they evaluate it. So the guess this is official.
Yeah, and some people are pretty, you know, they feel some sort of way about the fact that, you know, these Sony exclusive games are now coming out for PC, so they're a little less exclusive, but I don't know why people get really hung up on that. Number one, none of these games have released same day and date. It's not like how Microsoft does it. Like these games, like God of War, I think that was actually one of the announcements from the week we were gone as well. That game is coming out January of 2022. That's years after the game first came out. We're not talking about Ragnarok. We're talking about the reboot God of War game that came out some time ago. So it's been years. You know, even Days Gone was at least a year. You know, a lot of these games are taking their sweet time and coming to PC. So I don't think people should get, you know, Sony fans should get too bent out of shape about it. Plus, the other thing to remember is that, you know, games that release on the PlayStation 5, they are optimized for the PlayStation 5. When you take them to a PC, they're going to play differently depending on the PC. Yes, some will run better. Probably not, unless you have a really high-end machine and you've been able to get one of those really uber graphics cards. You'll probably get PlayStation 4 quality, but you're going to have a real, which some of you do have a top-of-the-line PC, I'm sure, and you will get PlayStation 5 quality out of your games, but most people probably won't. So you'll still kind of get that better experience on PlayStation 5 unless you've really made an investment in your PC. Now, of course, PC games means mods. That's exciting for a lot of people. But I think we also have to realize while, you know, you and I that listen to the show, we might enjoy the occasional mod. Most people don't bother with mods. So it isn't. It's kind of a non-factor when it comes to, you know, releasing games on PC and so forth. So, but you know what? I'm also I can see where Sony, it is strategically smart for them to put out something like God of War on PC to get more people into that series. And the other thing to keep in mind about Steam, which is huge versus Sony's other reach, is that Steam is in way more countries than PlayStation officially is otherwise. So being able to play the games on PC may be the only way in some countries for people to, I suppose, legally or affordably would probably be the better word, play these games. And something to consider as well. So, Questbuster in chat says, can't wait for the God of War mod that turns Baldur into Thomas the Tank Engine. Yes, you know it's a nudie mods, topless mods, all of it. All of it will happen.
It's always going to happen.
Of course. Thomas and Randy the Macho Man Savage mod, absolutely. Or should I say, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. Moving on. Let's talk about the latest in Blizzard, which, you know, I've been saying on this show.
For fuck's sake.
I've been saying on the show for weeks and weeks that it has been X number of days since the letter from the ABK employees has gone unresponded to. It should be noted that this week, most of it was addressed. You know, Bobby Kotick did put out another statement where, you know, he was like, oh, I'm going to take a salary cut, although he's certainly not losing any of his investments. So is he really taking a salary cut? However, him taking a salary cut, I don't think was in the letter. What was in the letter were things like ending arbitration for some of these types of disagreements. That was finally agreed to. They will end forced arbitration for that. A commitment to diversity in hiring to get, and I forget the exact percentage, I'm sorry guys, but something about a certain percentage of women, non-binary, you know, folks in the workplace as well. So Activision did make some more of those commitments. You know, they didn't do everything in the letter. But, you know, if you look at the ABK employee, you know, effort Twitter, a better ABK, the Twitter account, they did say today was a victory for us, but there's still more to do. Of course, this isn't something that's just going to magically disappear because, you know, Activision agreed to some of the demands. It is ongoing, but it is nice that finally we have some resolution. And there, you know, for example, there is still not a unbiased company audit going in, because the company that's doing the audit is what, remember, is tied to all those union busting things. We talked about that on a show before. They're still involved with that, and so the employees do not consider that a win. So there are still things that they are fighting for, and I think that's important to point out. So now, amongst all of this, a pretty huge headline this week out of Blizzard. BlizzCon Line was scheduled to happen in early 2022, just like they did this year, the virtual BlizzCon event in 2021. However, this week, that event was canceled. There is not going to be a BlizzCon 2022, and that is kind of a shocker. Is it a shocker? Maybe it's not. I kind of think it is, but at the same time, I also get that Blizzard has a lot of polarizing things going on now. If you think about the last time they had a BlizzCon in person, they had those protests going on outside, remember? Because that was right around the time that they had banned the esports guy for saying free Hong Kong. Remember all that stuff? That was leading into BlizzCon 2019. So now, not that I'm saying they closed out of fear of protests or anything like that, but obviously with everything going on, I think there was probably some concern about was it going to be as well received of an event. And I think it's also important to consider that Blizzard's been losing a lot of their hardcore fans from this news.
Totally.
From the I'm sorry to say it this way, but I'm just going to be candid. The failure of the World of Warcraft expansion. I don't know how else to phrase it, but the World of Warcraft expansion went over like a poop. Like, it's not winning people over. People are going to New World, Final Fantasy 14, or just playing something else. World of Warcraft is hemorrhaging players. And that was, like, the core audience of BlizzCon. And so you add that into that, it's a danger. And here's the other thing to consider. And maybe Blizzard had to consider this as well. What are they going to announce in early 2022? What do they
bankruptcy?
Have to show? I hope not, because I have friends that work there and I want to make sure that they're still taken care of. But I think the reality is Blizzard probably doesn't have much to show. They might have an update on Diablo 4. I have a feeling they're taking a real good look at World of Warcraft right now. And maybe I think we were all expecting that a World of Warcraft expansion would be announced. Maybe they're going to push that back a little bit because they have to take a good fucking hard look at that game right now and where it's at. Because
exactly.
Whatever they do with the next expansion is likely their last chance to salvage that game. So they're probably having to have a real long conversation about that whole thing. And the other thing to consider is that, you know, when it comes to BlizzCon and stuff, Blizzard could put out a press release tomorrow that says, hey, StarCraft 3 is coming in 2022, and everybody would be talking about it, and everybody would cover it. You know, maybe that they've reached that point of Nintendo or Sony State of Play or what have you, where it's just like, you know what, we're just going to announce the news. We don't need to have this. We don't need to have Metallica perform with the news, especially in an online-only environment when we're not still doing conventions.
What if Metallica sang the news?
I'd be there for that.
I would totally be there for that.
I should point out, Blizzard did note in the cancellation notice, they're going to take time to reimagine BlizzCon, saying whatever the event looks like in the future, we would also need to ensure that it feels as safe, welcoming, and inclusive as possible. You might remember some of that discussion about Blizzard was about the behavior of some of the employees at BlizzCon and some of the things they were saying about cosplay entrants behind their back. And I hate to say it, but the Cosby suite, which we all know was a problem.
Disgusting.
So that all also plays into what they really have to look at with BlizzCon and all of that. So I don't know. Like, I'm kind of like, it is a bummer to see. I think when you really put your brain to it, it makes sense why they're doing it, and maybe they just need to backburner it until we're talking about convention. Here's the interesting thing. If BlizzCon, they wanted to do it in person, they probably could, with precautions, of course, vaccinations, masks, and all that stuff, especially when we're talking about early next year. They probably could do an in-person event if they wanted, but I understand why that's a lot of money they're not wanting to pony up right now with everything else going on. And maybe they just want to take a back seat and see how drip feeding the information goes a little bit. And I think Blizzard has to ask themselves the really hard question. How do we win our community back?
Yeah.
I'm not even sure.
It's going to take a lot. I really think it's going to take a lot.
It's going to take a lot. I'm not sure I have an easy answer for that. You know, listening to the employee demands, it's a start, but I think we also have to kind of see the actions behind that, of course. And again, you know, with World of Warcraft, which was really a community building game for them, with that really not taking off this last expansion, they have to seriously reevaluate World of Warcraft. And I think there's a very good possibility the next direction may be a World of Warcraft 2 or just a Warcraft 4 and taking that franchise in a completely new direction. But I don't know. But again, Blizzard takes so long to make games, which I understand. You know, a good game takes a long time. But even if Blizzard were to think, okay, we're going to start Warcraft 4, we need to do a Warcraft 4. Even if they like came out today and said Warcraft 4 is happening, that game would not be out until 2026.
Yeah.
Let's be real. Remember the BlizzCon? They got absolutely shit on, destroyed for that Diablo 3 mobile phone game. Don't you all have phones? That was BlizzCon 2018, right? Somebody in the chat, correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't the mobile phone Diablo 2018? That game is still not out. I almost feel like this is a thing Blizzard has to work on. And it's such a weird thing to say because I know that a good game takes time. It takes a lot of work. Blizzard has to get faster at this. They cannot afford to be slow right now. And it's a shitty situation. I completely will say here and say it's a no-win situation for them. But they have to put out something good, and they have to do it soon. If Diablo 4 is bad, I really fear for the future. And that's going to be very sad. Anyway. All right. Let's move on. Dark Sakura, how about a money story?
Well, it makes me want to go through my own collection officially now. But there is another issue of a sealed Nintendo property that has gone for some money. This is a copy of Super Mario Bros. 2. Known in Japan as Super Mario USA, which was also originally a Doki Doki Panic. And it sold, it's near mint, inbox, everything. It was part of a estate sale in Floyd's Knobs, Indiana, and it sold for $88,000. So.
Now, this wasn't related to all that other, like, remember that hour-long YouTube expose on the auctions and the game? This isn't related to that, right? I mean, I guess
no. It
was only $88,000 and not several million,
only.
So yes. Yeah.
Only $88,000.
So, Pod Culture says, holy crap, that's right near me. Yeah, small world. So,
indeed.
So, Dark Soccer, you think you might have, do you think you have anything unopened in the vault?
Oh, I know I do.
Oh, wow. Okay. That could be interesting.
Yeah. It's, we have a few more, like more some PS1 or PS2 games. Like my copy of Guitaru Man was sealed for a long time because I had a couple of them. Mm-hmm. None of my NES or SNES stuff is, but I do have a couple of really good copies with the box of like Mighty Final Fight. Which goes for a decent bit now. I have Final Fight Guy in the box. It's not the original box, but I have the box and insert and manual for Final Fight Guy. I have Ninja Gaiden Trilogy in the box.
Oh, wow.
Which goes for a pretty penny. Mm-hmm. If anyone wants to make me offers on these, by the way, make me offers because we'll probably sell them now. We need to make some room, and I have things I want to buy.
I think the only thing I have still, I have a sealed copy of like DDR X2 or something like that with a dance mat. in the studio for whatever random reason. I think I got it was a promo or something, but yeah, it's just funny.
Remember what was that place called that was like on Northgate by where I used to work? And it was like one of those big warehouse stores, not like a Big Lots, but like a resale place.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know what you're talking about. But it's like a Big Lots, yeah.
And Dan and I bought every single last copy of the first U.S. release of Dance Dance Revolution with the pad so that we could sell them to our friends who were having trouble buying them.
Yeah, yeah.
And we got them dirt cheap, and they were still fairly new. And, yeah, I remember that craziness, but we should have an see if it's worth anything. I mean, shit, have an opening party if it's not.
You never know. All right, let's move on and talk about one of my least favorite companies in the world, probably my least favorite company in the world, Facebook. Facebook had a big event of their own this week, and they announced the big rebranding. So Facebook, as the top-level organization, is now going to be called Meta. And I think a lot of you guys heard about this new name. So their new name is Meta, which I think they should apologize to Meta World Peace, who is the only person allowed to use that name. However, that's what they're going with. So Meta is to Facebook what kind of like Alphabet is to Google in a way. So basically, like, Meta is going to be the parent organization that, you know, Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, and all this, Oculus, basically are all going to roll up as separate companies under Meta. So they're trying to create this illusion that they are separating the companies because, you know, there's all this call for like break up Facebook and all this stuff. Well, they're just kind of throwing it all under this umbrella of Meta. However, the one good news out of this is with all of this change, one of the Oculus Quest's most controversial features is going to be going away. I'm not talking about the name, although that is apparently changing too. The Oculus Quest will now be the Meta Quest, apparently, is going to be a thing. However, you're no longer going to need a Facebook account to use them. And that was one of the big sticking points for a lot of people. I know our own Bobby Blackwolf here at Vogue Network, who is a VR guru of many sorts. He would not get the new Oculus headsets because you had to have a Facebook login to get in them. And it was really stupid because if you got banned on Facebook, which we know it's really easy to end up in Facebook jail these days, you can ask certain friend of ours that are Facebook jail frequent flyers, okay? That if you got banned from Facebook, you would basically get banned from Oculus and lose access to all of your games, which is the stupidest thing I think I've ever heard. So,
yeah.
You know, because people can also get banned over their names. So what if you are somebody like me who uses a fake name everywhere online because you've had stalkers in the past that you do not want finding you online, but Facebook feels the need to play God and make people go by their real names? Let's say I get banned from Facebook because I refuse to use my real name. Then what? I would lose all these games and stuff, which is stupid. So thankfully, this stupid rule is going to be changing, and now they will be. So apparently, if you are a dickbag on the Oculus service, you could still lose access to everything. However, that's a little more in line with Steam and other shops, and I get that. That's fine. So I just don't think it should have been tied to Facebook. So CTO Andrew Bosworth said, "We're working on new ways to log into Quest that won't require a Facebook account, landing sometime next year. This is one of our highest priority areas of work internally." So that's nice, I guess. Anyway.
I just hope that they're changing, because they knew how harmful their platform was and did jack shit about it because they were making money. I still think nothing is going to get me to go back to using that. And I only still have my Messenger because I have a need for it. That's it.
Messenger's practically replaced email now, which sucks. I don't like it, but it is what it is. You know, some of my conversations have moved to Signal, though, which is nice, but there's still...
What's Signal?
Because here's the reality. You guys all know I do these hosting gigs and stuff like that. All of those gigs that I book are through Facebook Messenger. If I stop using Messenger, people are not going to offer me gigs because they're not going to know how to get a hold of me. Because that is just the sad reality of how... The firm grip that Facebook, as well as Messenger and all that, have on this society. I mean, we talked about this a few weeks ago with the shutdown when, you know, people were saying, don't joke about that because in other countries, WhatsApp is their primary form of communication, to which I'm sitting here going, it is absolutely valid to then ask the question, why are they relying on WhatsApp?
Yeah.
Don't tell me what I can and can't criticize. Fuck you.
Criticism is essential, by the way, to any sort of change.
Yes.
And if something isn't good, especially if it's something that you enjoy or love, mm-hmm. you must always be critical of the things that you love instead of taking them at face value.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is everything, you know, because over the years, I can't tell you how many times I've heard, do you guys hate Nintendo? You guys are so critical of Nintendo, especially Loki always yells at Nintendo and all this stuff. And I'm like, we're critical because we love them. And I've used the top model story 100 times. I need a new analogy. But the reality, we are critical because we love them and we don't understand some of these decisions. Sometimes we feel like it hinders their success. But then again, look at the family plan. Expansion pack for Nintendo Online. I thought for sure, oh, this is gonna be a big poop. This is gonna land like a thud. Nobody's gonna get. Everybody's fucking getting it. Everybody's fucking getting it because either they're on a family plan where one person wants it, which I think is what happened to you, Dark Sakura, or people just have a moment of weakness or whatever. They're like, oh, I'll get it just to check it out. So this thing is going to be a huge success for Nintendo, and it's just going to encourage them to make more questionable value offerings in the future. Anyway. Mm-hmm. Going to some comments in chat. Tiger Claw in chat says, we're critical of Nintendo because they're going against the grain and not following what everyone else is doing. But see, sometimes that can end up being a good thing. Like the Nintendo Directs and them stopping the traditional E3. You know what? That worked out real well for them. Their wacky approach to hardware and what they did with the Switch is very different from what anyone else is doing. And look how well it's worked out for them. So sometimes they go against the grain. It's a really good thing. And I will still die on the hill that Nintendo is the best game maker in the business, period. Nintendo just has this unique position of creating their own hardware as the only place to play those games. And some of the decisions that go along with that. Anyway, SG100 Matt also points out the show has been critical of each major console maker at one point or another. Folks weren't here during the PS3 era when we play show tunes when Sony put out ridiculous news during that time. Absolutely. And Don Matrick announcing the Xbox One. Holy shit, was that year's worth of content. So we're critical of everybody when they deserve it. It's because we love video games and we want to see the gaming companies do better.
Well, so. See, that's the thing. And I'm going to just go a little bit tangential on this.
Sure.
There are people who, when you're critical about something, they're going to say, they're going to, you know, say, oh, why are you a hater? Blah, blah, blah. And women get this a lot when we try to bring up things that are done against us. Oh, well, why do you hate men? No, I'm critical. That's a difference, being critical. Just because somebody has a difference of opinion or says something criticizing something else does not make them a hater.
Right.
It makes them an intelligent human being that understands the difference between being a hater and being critical. It's someone who's taking, and there's a difference also between, like, being a hater is just like, oh, well, I don't like Android. I don't know why, I just don't, because they're not my iPhone. You know, people like that. That's hater. That's stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're like, you know what? I have to say that I don't like this, this, and this feature on this device, and I think it could be improved on and made better. You're not hating on it. You are being critical. Criticism and insulting or being just overtly negative are two different things. They can sometimes sound alike, especially there is such a thing as being overly critical.
Right.
I prefer tactful criticism. And mm-hmm. I know we have bordered a little bit sometimes because we do feel so strongly about these things. But just because somebody has a difference of opinion than you, and just because someone criticizes something, does not give you the right to tell them not to. Everybody around us has the right to say whatever the goddamn fuck we want. End of story. That said, yes, there are consequences. If someone wants to go out and be a racist piece of shit, well, if they get ostracized for it, that's on them because they chose to say those words. But no one can tell another person what to say and what not to say. We can only create the social contract that outlines what is generally acceptable and what is not. If someone says, well, you can't say this about this group of people. What they're selling you is that it's not socially acceptable to say those things because they are hurtful. They will portray you as this, or only people of this certain mindset would think something like this. Typically, if you give someone correction, critical correction, then they'll be like, oh, okay, if they're truly a good person, want to try to do better. And then there's those assholes who'll take it as a personal insult, right?
Right.
It's all going back to criticism, going back to tactful isn't the quite word that I'm looking for, although being tactful is certainly better. But it goes back to an understanding of the difference of knowing what's appropriate.
I have to get to a comment from Tiger Claw in chat that I think is really right on, honestly. Tiger Claw in chat says, you find most haters on YouTube and they do it just because they can. And while I agree with Deft, who follows up and says you can find haters everywhere, even IRL. While I do agree with that, there's something about YouTube and that culture that really fosters that kind of hateful hater video culture. And Dark Soccer, you just said it. It's all about the clicks. And this goes back to why Facebook is bad, because they exploit these things. And the adrenaline rush that comes with hate, they exploit that for clicks. Why do you think it's always these shitty political debates and things that come up on Facebook? It's all hate. And then, yeah, these videos on YouTube are really bad. You know, and it's in gaming, it's in everywhere you look. But, like, you know, especially gaming, there's so many channels out there that are just hateful when it comes to games. And that's why, and I've said this for years. If you're going to start a podcast, I always urge people, what's your theme? What's your brand? What is it? Describe your show in one sentence. What's the tagline on the movie poster? If your tagline is, oh, me and three of my friends sit around and talk shit about video games, do not do that podcast. Stop. Maybe podcasting isn't for you, actually, until you really reevaluate what it is you want to do, because I'm not going to download a fandom podcast, just hear someone talk shit all day.
Yeah.
And there are some podcasts, and why not? There's some long running podcasts that I feel live in this world of, we're just here to talk shit. It's old and it's pointless. Get a new hobby.
No one wants to hear you bitch the whole time.
Seriously.
People may want to hear you bitch for a little bit. And I like to think that we keep our bitching to an appropriate level of bitch festing.
Mm-hmm.
If that's not a word, it is now.
Mm-hmm.
But I also like to think, and it could also, I mean, I don't want to do like, oh, the old mature gamer, blah, blah, get off my lawn bullshit. But I think it also, though, does go that we are adults. We are well-rounded adults, for the most part. You know what I mean? And we have experience in the communities that we're in and in this lifestyle that we're in, that we've seen the ebb and flow, and we've seen what different attitudes can have, and we know that all we see is just cyclical, you know? We know politics are involved. We know it goes much further than just, oh, I like this game and I don't like this game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that for us, because we know this, that's where we're better equipped to have these discussions and to know the right way to criticize.
Well, and to be fair, I think we have to still be careful to elevate ourselves too much. There's a lot of podcasts that do get it right.
That's why
fair.
I was still saying stuff.
Okay.
But I think that, well, I mean, it pretty much is that just because we know these things doesn't make us any better than anybody else's opinion. Mm. It's just, we can deliver it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that some of our younger people, or I'm even going to say even older people, people who are susceptible to that sort of push that these social platforms have. And I honestly think that, yeah, there are a lot of people out there who are that gullible and will fall right into the trap because they are groomed to fall into that trap. And mm-hmm. they let themselves be groomed to fall into that trap. Mm-hmm. Taking that step back from it is difficult. And I think that just us as people, we have gotten to the point where we can take a step back from those environments, even though we have grown up with the advent of social media. God, I got something in my eye.
No, you're fine.
But I hope that made sense. It's not sort of like a self-elevation sort of thing. It's more of an experience thing.
It does. I get it.
And not everyone is going to have that perfect storm of experiences that's going to teach them, I need to disengage. Mm-hmm. Or I may be anonymous now, but some asshole's going to find me.
Yeah. So before we get to the next segment, I never got around to this. No, you're fine. I think this is actually a really good discussion. I think it's great. But I do need to mention at some point, the other big headline out of the VR meta stuff is that the new CEO of all this, Zuckerberg, announced that Grand Theft Auto San Andreas from the year 2004 will be getting a VR port for the Oculus Quest, or excuse me, the Meta Quest 2. I got to get used to this now. In the event, Zuckerberg said, this new version of what I think is one of the greatest games ever made will offer players an entirely new way to experience this iconic open world in virtual reality. I'm really bummed out Loki's not here tonight because you all know his feelings on all these ports. So I'm really bummed out we can't ask him about this tonight, but you know we will next week at the top of the show when he's back. So I have nothing further to say on this for now. It's, you know, I'm very much the mindset that, like, you shouldn't shove games in VR just because you can. But if they're making mindful, meaningful changes to it to make VR really enhance the game, then I guess I would keep an open mind. But I don't know. I feel like there's so many games I care more about in the immediate term than a port of Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. You guys are lighting up chat. Some of you talking about the Resident Evil 4. Questbuster says, I heard the Resident Evil 4 VR port is supposed to be really good. Well, you know, if they actually went back, retooled it, made it something for VR, then cool. That probably does really work. SSG100 Matt, kind of going back to, the other discussion Dark Soccer and I were having, saying, parts of the internet have given every person a microphone. Give a billion people a megaphone, a large portion of those voices are going to be trash. Best way to drown it out is with being positive, not contribute to that nonsense, and be part of an awesome community that is like-minded and positive thinking, like Vogue. Thank you very much for that. Yes. But there's lots of great
communities
out there,
too. That warmed
my
cold heart, yes, at least a degree.
All right. I think enough about VR and all of these newfangled games. Let's go to an old favorite segment here in this next sequence here.
Now it's time to travel back to a simpler time, where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
All right, Dark Soccer, what did you pick tonight for the classic game of the week?
I tried to pick something scary that I haven't done before, so I picked Galarians.
I'm Galarian... going to AFK real quick, just so you know, too. Sorry.
I guess. Leave me by myself. I see how it is. Anyway, Galarians came out in 1999 in Japan, August 26th, that is, in North America, March 29th, 2000, and in Europe, June 9th, 2000. It is a survival horror game that was developed by Polygon Magic for the PlayStation. You play as a boy named Rion, who discovers he has psychic powers. He also has amnesia. And as he learns who he is, he learns that he is to survive against... He's going to help everyone survive against the Galarians, which are these genetically enhanced humans. And there is a sequel, by the way. Galarians Ash came out on PS2 a little while later. And it is one of the earliest survival horror games. It was kind of compared to Resident Evil at the time. It has the whole tank control thing where, you know... you hold up or down to move around, you know, but you have to readjust your camera, you know, as you're going along. You also, it is a 3D game, had pre-rendered backgrounds. And as you go through the games, you find items and clues, and you use that to unlock new areas and keep going around. But Galarian's doesn't have any gun-based combat. It uses psychic powers. So Rion has different powers. He has a telepathic sense to gain clues and do puzzles. His offensive powers he get by taking drugs. Or as in the English version, PPEC, psychic power enhancement chemicals. He's taking drugs. So each one of those vials that you get is finite, so you have to conserve them. They have 1 to 2 second charge time. And so you have to find the right interval to attack. Timing is everything. So if you defeat an enemy with that, then they won't leave any items and you don't get experience. So you're trying to avoid combat when you can. There are 3 gauges for status. One's a health meter for damage. The other one is AP, absorption points, which adds up as Rion takes damage, uses his ability, or under stress. Kind of like a limit break. And it depletes as he uses his powers. When the meter is full, he loses control of his powers and has a continuous psychic assault power that will basically kill everybody except a boss in a single blow. And it can be fatal to Rion if it goes unchecked. So anyway, it was a fairly interesting game. Had a fairly interesting story. It also has to do with themes of AIs and things of, you know, have you surpassed your creator and different things like that. It was quite the interesting theme, and it was a very interesting spin for its time. It got fairly decent, kind of middle of the road to good ratings, and then it actually had some others that came apart from it. So there were 2 light novels that were written by Takiguchi Maki. Came out in 2000 and just talked about the details of the game. It was a CGI 3-part OAV that came out in 2002 called Galarian's Rion. And it basically, again, follows the story. There's also an art book called Galarian's Ahead, as in A-H-E-A-D. Not as a head, but a head. that had preliminary sketches, character stuff, box art, storyboards, general artwork from the games and the OVAs. And it was illustrated by Tajima Sho. So there you go. We only ever got the 2 games. The distribution in Japan was by ASCII Entertainment and everywhere else in the world by Crave Entertainment. And there you go.
I'm unfamiliar with this game. It somehow was never on my radar, honestly.
It was. I had friends who were really into it, and then I had friends who were like, "What?"
Yeah.
So, yeah.
All right.
But yeah, it's a neat little game. Galarian's Ash was really good.
All right.
But there you go.
Well, there it is. Your classic game of the week. A little bit spooky-ish. Galarian is your classic game of the week. So. All right, I'll have to check that one out. It's not one I'm super familiar with, to be honest. So just never got around to that one.
Yeah, right. I don't like the tank control type stuff, so I didn't play too far into it. But what I played, I liked. It was really fun exploding people's heads.
All right,
kind of like Scanners.
So we just have a little bit more for you before we get to the listener roundtable. I did say at the top of the show it's probably going to be a shorter show tonight. So if you do want to call in or something, you can make your way over to Discord in our green room over at vognetwork.com/Discord. Even if you don't want to call in, I encourage you to join our Discord. And doesn't everyone have a Discord now, but we have a community there where you can kind of post stories throughout the week. We pull a lot of stories there for our show and talk to us. And there's all sorts of different topics and fun things that go on in Discord. So again, that's vognetwork.com/Discord. But before we do that, let's travel around the world and check out some release dates. With Loki not here tonight, I'm going to try my best to take on the U.S. dates here tonight. So coming out this week on November, and here we go, we're getting into November, so we got a lot of releases now. On the Nintendo Switch this week, on the 2nd, we have Cupid Parasite and World War Z. We also have Knockout City making its way to PlayStation 5 and the Series X. I think that game was already out because I know I've had friends that are trying to get me to play it, but it's now coming out for the more, I guess, next-gen or current-gen, depending on where your head is at, systems. On the 4th, I remember we talked about this before, but A Boy and His Blob making its way to the Nintendo Switch. I believe this is a port of that Wii version, which is a Wii make, get it, of the original NES game, which was kind of an underground kind of indie cultish kind of hit that never... No, it did get a sequel on the Game Boy, I think, actually, if I remember right. So it was a very different kind of game. Just Dance 2022 is out on everything because those games always come out on everything. I think I think finally, though, they have stopped making them for the Wii and all systems older than that. But that is out this week, so you can get the latest and greatest Just Dance game. Tales of Luminaria. This is the Tales game for mobile. That is also out on the 4th. And a game called Where Cards Fall, a puzzle game out for PC and Nintendo Switch. And then on the 5th, we have Call of Duty Vanguard is going to be coming out on a variety of different systems and because it's a Call of Duty game. And then the Kid A Amnesia Exhibition, remember that random Radiohead thing? Apparently that is out this week for Windows, Mac, and PS5 on the 5th of November. So that will
remember. With,
that's right.
Also, that's my mom's birthday.
Is it really?
Yeah, it is. Funny.
In the not too distant future, Forza Horizon 5 coming out on the 9th. But I think there is a early access thing if you pay the extra money to get into the early access. I did not, so I'll wait for the 9th. But I know Bobby said he always gives a lot of money for Forza Horizon because it's his favorite series. So I think he gets in earlier in the week. But the official release of that game is actually in next week's releases on November the 9th. Why don't we hop over to the UK if we could while I get Japan's dates up, Dark Sakura?
Sure. And I will need an AFK after that.
That's fine.
So we have on November 2nd, we have World War Z Aftermath on Switch. Further on the 2nd, we have Astria Ascending for Switch and PlayStation, Hell Let Loose on PlayStation and Xbox, Fortnite Minty Legends Pack on the 3, the big 3. On the 4th, we have Just Dance 2022 on the big 3, Call of Duty Vanguard on the 5th, also the Nintendo Switch Lite Pokemon Dialga and Palkia. We have Fast and Furious Spy Racers, Rise of Shifter, also on the 5th. And that looks like what it is.
All right.
Return.
Yes, that's fine. Let me go to the Japanese releases while Dark Sakura takes her break there. So let's start on the Switch for Japan. We have Danganronpa Decadence is out this week. So I know there's lots of people that are really hardcore into Danganronpa. I don't believe this is a new game. I think it is a repackaging of the big three Danganronpa games, but it also has Danganronpa S Ultimate Summer Camp, which is like an expanded version of the bonus content from Danganronpa V3. So it sounds like it's really like a definitive Danganronpa collection that's out in Japan this week for the Switch. Model Debut 2, Nicola. I have no idea what that is, but that is also out this week on the 4th. Of course, Just Dance 2022 also making its way to Japan this week. And there's also Pokemon Dialga and Palkia Nintendo Switches are out this week in Japan. So that is also something to look forward to. And I think those are making their way over here too. Just didn't show up in our release dates here, but that is all happening November 5th because the redo of Diamond and Pearl are not that far away. So of course they want to get that special Switch out for those. Heading over to the PlayStation 5, there's something called the Fortnite Minty Legends Pack, and it is coming out in Japan. I think there's versions of that that are also coming out in other territories, but Japan can't escape the Fortnite stuff either. I'm sure it's probably not as big a deal there, but they are releasing that. And then the other big release on the PlayStation 5 this week, of course, Call of Duty Vanguard, also releasing in Japan. All right. Going to the chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. SG100 Matt says, how many versions of the Pokemon game is Shane buying is the real question. I'm guessing 4. Last I checked with Shane, and if he's out there, he can speak for himself, but the remakes are not landing for him the same way the Arceus Legends stuff is. So that is, I think, what he's really looking forward to. I don't think he'll buy probably at least one, but I don't think you're going to see him buy like 8 copies. I think he's past that for these remakes. So, and I don't know if he was getting the actual Pokemon Switches. So we'll have him back on the show to ask.
I have M&Ms.
Lucky. All right. Let's move on. Don't eat on air. Mute yourself. All right. Let's go to...
But I needed chocolate.
Let's go to one more story here, and then we'll get to some emails and maybe some calls. And this story has to do with, get this, another Super Smash Brothers kind of clone is on its way. And this is coming from Warner Brothers, apparently, is going to be putting this one out. And it's coming from basically a leak that's online. It looks like it's a free-to-play title, and they are saying it kind of looks cheap with this. And with this game, some characters have already been spotted. There's a screenshot out there, which really kind of lends credit to that. This is probably true.
Like Rick on there.
Yeah, Rick from Rick and Morty. Tom from Tom and Jerry. Bugs Bunny's there. Superman, Shaggy.
Where are the Warner Brothers and the Warner Sister Dot?
Well, this is only one screenshot, so the Warner Brothers and the Warner Sister Dot could be on their way. It could be DLC. But it's interesting to see this, especially right after this Nickelodeon thing had just come out, and it's kind of making the waves that it's making, is that now we have this other one coming. Now, YYR in chat says, you get what you pay for. Possibly. It sounds like that could be the case with this, as it is free to play. But it is still rumor. It's unconfirmed. But the screenshot is pretty... I mean, it does not look like a bunch of copy-pasted images together, because it looks like these characters have all been rendered in a similar way for this game, and I think that's what makes it very compelling evidence. I guess it could be a fan thing at the end of the day, but it's looking like there's a little smoke here and there's probably fire. So we'll see when this possibly comes to fruition. With that, let's get to you guys and your feedback. We can do some comments
and
chat as well. No, of course we have to. We have to get to the emails. Participate@orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send your emails every week. Of course, you can also join our green room over at vognetwork.com/discord. I know there's about half the audience here tonight. There usually is, just between Halloween and World Series and all this other stuff. There's just a lot going on today. Probably be a lot of podcast folks. You can email us anytime, of course. Participate@orangeloungeradio.com. Let's get to emails. Dark Sakura.
Okay, so first email is back from the 22nd. A new entry would be preferable, of course, but has Rockstar released a 2D trilogy remaster of Grand Theft Auto, GTA London, and GTA 2? And that's from Robert M. I don't know.
I don't think so. I think it's been a while. They did re-release them at one point, and I think it might have been like a pre-order bonus or something for one of the newer GTA games, but I don't think we visited those games in a while. There was also the 3DS Grand Theft Auto game that was more inspired by it was Chinatown Wars was the name of it, and it was more inspired by the classic Grand Theft Auto games, but it wasn't really a remake either. So all right,
so we have one more email.
Mm-hmm.
It's from YYR, so it's a long one. Hello, LR. Once again, I was catching up on slightly older episodes and felt the need to chime in. Thanks for giving me an extra week to catch up. During the action-packed 3-hour episode from October 10th, it was mentioned that direct credit card payments will no longer be allowed for digital purposes on PS3 and Vita. It was speculated that this might be the beginning of the actual end for those stores. Well, as someone who just purchased a bunch of stuff on Vita this month, I can tell you that it's already barely working. In order to download any of my Vita purchases or transfer them to Vita from PS3, I had to mash the download button many times before it would work.
That's weird.
Most of those times, it would error out with the nonsense error message and code. There were posts about this all over the internet, but I doubt they'll fix it, because why would they? I'm probably the only one who's still buying Vita games anyway.
I don't think you're alone, but it's not a lot of people.
I will mention that Microsoft is not entirely off the hook for things like this. Just try performing a license transfer on your Xbox 360. In the likely event that you get an error, you're basically screwed. Enjoy reading all of the posts from other frustrated users trying to get answers from MS as to why it's busted and when or if it will work again. So the new achievement system for the Epic Game Store was mentioned. Let me tell you, this is the most half-assed, broken, garbage achievement system I've ever seen. Because we've seen many times over the last 15 years that a game will come out with achievements and trophies, and then it will get DLC, and then more achievements or trophies are added. Well, guess what? On Epic Store, this is not possible at all. Their new achievement system comes with three mandates. All achievements will be associated with a point value. The number of points must sum up to a total of 1,000, no more, no less. Once the achievements go live, they cannot be altered in any way. So next year, I'm going to be releasing my expansion for Super Multitasking. I'm going to be changing some existing achievements to make them more easily obtainable, and I'm going to be adding new ones. If I was on the Epic Game Store, this would not be possible. I bet you're going to see a number of developers choose not to bother rather than risk being locked into something forever. It's stupid, it sucks, and I hate it. On the plus side, my ears perked up when you mentioned Konami's contest for indie developers to revive some of their dormant franchises. On the minus side, I'm disqualified. In order to be eligible, you must live in Japan. So I apologize, but you won't be seeing a new version of Gyrus from me anytime soon. You know what else you won't be seeing from me? A Pixel Poops eFootball crossover. Don't worry, you're better off. The collision detection would have been broken, and the jogger's AI would have been busted, too. Have you ever seen a jogger that forgot how to jog? Be glad that you never will. Anyway, thanks for the show, and have
Drag
a fantastic
them.
Week. Yeah. Hugs, Aaron YYR.
Great email, YYR. Yeah, I guess we overlooked a pretty obvious point there in the contest that, in order to win a Japanese contest, you probably have to be from Japan. Obviously, I never expected you were really going to enter in anyway, but it's fun to imagine, isn't it? Very interesting on the Epic achievement fronts. I had no idea it was that like ridiculous, especially when they're catching up. You know, in a related-ish kind of story, there was some rumors, and I didn't put him in the show role, but I guess we'll bring it up here. Nintendo may actually be finally looking at doing achievements. And this is from some stuff that I think it was data mined somewhere, I think in the latest firmware update. And the heavy rumor that Splatoon 3 may be the first game with them, and that I guess it ties in maybe to the way Nintendo's been doing mobile achievements. But I haven't been really paying attention to a lot of Nintendo mobile titles. So I haven't really seen how this works. But it's interesting Nintendo's looking at it too. And I hope it's not as crappy as what Epic is doing, which really sounds copy-pasted from the Xbox 360. But the Xbox 360 was before so many people were doing DLC. You know, like, I remember 360, everything was capped at 1,000. Everything had to add up to 1,000. But there were some exceptions. Like, I think all the DLC for Oblivion got to add some extra achievements and stuff. But, like, I feel like that was not the thing to copy. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I wonder if PlayStation 3 trophies could be updated, because I remember DLC would add like a little plus sign and it would almost treat it like a different game. But yeah, it just seems like something's a little bit backwards and old with what is happening. I don't know. YYR in chat says maybe Splatoon 3 has its own achievement system that just works within the game itself. I think some Switch games do that. Oh, certainly that could be there. But keep in mind, Splatoon 3 is nowhere near being out. People are peeking under the hood at the firmware and seeing indications of it there. And so that's why it seems to be something that's not constrained just to the game. Animal Crossing, they're saying, is also kind of rumored for this, which is weird because most people have already kind of come and gone from Animal Crossing. But not to say they couldn't retroactively add things. It could be interesting. I think achievements for the classic NES games would be something, but I don't ever see Nintendo putting the effort into it. So we'll see.
Congratulations, you cheated at Contra.
Yeah. I like that. All right. Any more emails?
No.
Okay. Participate at orangelaundry.com if you want to send us a future email. We're about to wrap up. but we usually do last minute stories here. Loki's not here to do any last minute stories, but the chat room jumping in here with a last minute story. This one's could be a big one. As Joe and Hunter Matt linked us to this one, the headline, and this is from Sega's website and from their Japanese website, sega.co.jp. Sega and Microsoft to explore a strategic alliance to create new strategic titles for Sega and established a next generation development environment.
So strategic.
Now that's now for all the hubbaloo where people were saying Microsoft needs to buy Sega. It doesn't seem like that's happening, but this is very interesting. Let's move on. I guess I can read this word for word because it's an official press release. Sega and Microsoft have agreed in principle a strategic alliance that explores ways for Sega to produce large-scale global games in a next-generation development environment built on Microsoft's Azure cloud platform. This alliance would form a key part of Sega's mid-to-long-term strategy, allowing the business to move forward with Super Game, a new initiative for developing new and innovative titles where the key focuses are global, online, community, and IP utilization. With the world now more connected than ever following the widespread deployment of 5G and cloud services in recent years, consumers can more easily enjoy high-quality entertainment content at any time. Within this high-connected environment, the ecosystem surrounding the games industry continues to evolve and expand as more sophisticated tools and technology become available. As such, video games continue to grow as a major medium for gamers globally, with access to a vast range of gaming experiences and communities becoming more diverse and attainable. Blah, 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 blah. Here we go. Mm-hmm. The proposed alliance represents Sega looking ahead, and by working with Microsoft to anticipate such trends as they accelerate further in future, the global is to optimize development processes and continue to bring high-quality experiences to players using Azure cloud technologies. Microsoft and Sega have agreed upon the foundation for this alliance, and through mutual cooperation will look to build further technological evolutions with areas such as the network infrastructure and communication tools required for global online services being a key priority. Additionally, by shifting to a next-generation development platform, Sega can effectively adapt to diversifying work styles and potential infrastructural changes. Interesting. Because nowhere in that do I see the word Xbox.
Mm-mm.
So it doesn't seem like, and I think there will be people that read into this that say, oh, Sega's going to do exclusive Xbox games. That might be a conclusion jumping to, but when I hear the Azure cloud stuff too, that could really just be, you know, Sega. It really sounds like Phantasy Star Online 2 has done pretty well. And they're probably because, you know, you talk about the online experience. It sounds like Sega may be developing something else in the online space. They're going to use Microsoft's technology to help them out.
I just wish we would get like another dedicated console again.
Right. YYR says, what do these Azure powered games even look like? Stuff like Flight Simulator, maybe? Maybe. That's actually not a bad call because I think Flight Simulator is powered in part by the cloud and how they get a lot of that real time weather and all of that information. So maybe Sega's looking at doing something, you know, of that sort of scope. And it's probably something we don't know of. Like, you know, or of course it's something we don't know of, but I mean, like, maybe not an existing franchise. So I don't think I would read into this. It means, oh, it means Yakuza or it means Sonic or anything like that, or Phantasy Star even. It could be something new that Sega's up to. I don't know. SJ100 Matt says, so I'm reading this as Microsoft is giving them dev tools for free in exchange for something. Whatever that something is, we'll see in a few years. It's very possible Microsoft is going to be given an exclusive window for Sega's next big game. And that could be a huge deal because when I see Azure Cloud, it ain't going to be for Nintendo. So the Switch is out. So that means that Sega, you know, and obviously Microsoft's Achilles heel is Japan and the Japanese market. We've known this for a long time. They need an alliance like this. I don't think this is alliance as much as some people may think it is, but it's a start. So it'll be very interesting. We'll see what develops from this. Thank you for the share.
Definitely yeah. Very interesting.
It is. It is. All right.
What's this thing about a Epic Store?
What the other link that was in chat there?
Yeah. Oh, it's a new character for Fortnite.
Ah.
Or a character set for Fortnite.
I heard Fortnite's going to close in China. That was another headline I had scrolled by earlier. I guess something about some, you know, all the crackdowns that's happening with gaming there is going to affect Fortnite in China. It's interesting.
There's actually another one just for the ones who do the Roblox thing. Apparently they were out for 3 days and now Roblox is back up.
Yeah, Roblox. I figure there's not a lot of our audience that plays that, but yeah, it's they were down for a little while.
Well, now there's like some horror games also available on Xbox Game Pass right now.
Yeah, I think there's some of the websites are just highlighting games available. I don't think there's anything new.
But
I think
Back 4 Blood is on there.
Yeah,
it's kind of cool.
Questbuster, I think, with a really interesting perspective on the Microsoft Sega thing. Imagine leveraging that technology for their subsidiary studios, like for Creative Assembly and its Total War series. Very interesting thought. Tiger Claw says, who knows what this alliance will lead to? Microsoft buys Sega? I think that's very premature.
Let's hope not.
I think a headline like this actually pulls away from that, because I think a headline like this shows, no, Microsoft's not buying Sega, but they are going to have a partnership. And I think that's a very different thing. So Tiger Claw, I completely see how you jump to that conclusion. And I bet many YouTubes and many tweets and many podcasts you listen to are going to jump to that conclusion. But I think this actually distances it from an actual purchase. I think we get the agreement and that's what it is, and not an actual purchase or anything. So,
and I think that it would be financially unwise for Microsoft to acquire Sega in that manner, because I think Sega on its own would be more profitable as a partner than as a subsidiary.
Deft in chat on the Fortnite thing is bringing some perspective to the new character. It's not just any character. It is a Mexican TV character that is turning 51 years old. El Chapulin Colorado is coming to Fortnite. So, and of course, Deft being our official ambassador to the country of Mexico here at OLR. And I mean that because I always appreciate hearing his perspective from in Mexico. Obviously, that's you know, pretty cool deal to see some of that representation in the game. That's pretty cool.
That is really cool.
Yeah. All right.
The Crimson Grasshopper.
I think that's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio. Thank you so much for tuning into our show, especially when we were gone last week. And I know it's been a shorter show tonight, but you guys know it's just the way it played out. But we'll be back next week. Everybody will be here. Good long show. Power outages notwithstanding, knock on wood, but we should be past all that, hopefully. We will be back to do it all again. Thank you guys for downloading our show or listening to us live, however you participated. If you enjoyed what you heard here at Orange Lounge Radio, help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we need the voices to be here in chat. So tell a friend or two about the show. A nice 5-star review on a site like iTunes or wherever it is you found this show would go an awful long way. Sharing the Spotify link on social media or whatever it is, all of that stuff is greatly appreciated. If you feel so inclined, we have a shop with merch, and you can check that out at VogNetwork.com/shop. You can pick yourself up a OLR t-shirt or a VOG Network shirt or whatever it is you want to pick up there. That is there as well. And I think that's about all I have to say. I think it's time to get our final thoughts. Dark Soccer, I'll go to you because I know you want to get out of here and get set up for your stream. So what's your final thought tonight?
My final thought is I probably shouldn't have eaten this candy, and I got to put that hot jacket back on in a few, but I'll probably do it partly into my stream.
All right. Trick or treat.
I'm starting early tonight, so who knows what's going to happen?
Who knows? Anything's possible. All right, Dark Sakura, we'll see you later. Thanks for being here.
Anything can happen on Halloween.
I love that. Good night. Take care.
You too. Good night. All right.
And then for my final thought tonight, I guess I would say, I'm all by myself now. That's a little weird, but I would just
say. All by myself. I had to do it, Rob.
All right. I don't know what else to say. Thank you. Thank you for being here. And I had some great times hosting over the weekend, and I'm looking forward to doing more of that in 2022. Hopefully more conventions as well. Hopefully we see the world get a little more back to normal so we can do that kind of stuff. And, That's all I got. We're going to see you again in 7 days, you guys. Have a great night, everybody. We'll see you next time here on Orange Lounge Radio. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into fognetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vogue Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.